Day. This week's Towaway has been sponsored by Sid Goldschmidt of Fairlawn, New Jersey, in honour of Adam Lasky, Joey Joseph, and the Start Your Day, the Towaway website. Kof Zion Tammuz, Friday the 29th of July, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Chizik, Ore Miklot.
Morning, everyone. I made it a habit here of always trying to mention the Nesh Chochma, the Ore Sameach, and Meir Simcha from David. And since I've been learning Makkos recently, Makkos deals with, one of the Prokim deals with Elei Agoilim, the Ore Miklot. So I thought I'd share some ideas, some very profound ideas for the Meshech Chochma, and perhaps some others. So the first thing to discuss is the Kohen Gadol. The Ritzeach stays in Ore Miklot till Moyes HaKohen Gadol, and the question is why? What's the connection between the Ritzeach B'Shogeg, someone who's killed B'Shogeg, and the Misa of the Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara Makkos asks the question. The Gemara Makkos says that the Kohen should have been Mavakesh Rachmim al Doirei Veloi Bekesh. It's the Kohen Gadol's fault, in a way, something happens in the Shtot. The Tzaddik is responsible. We hold the Tzaddik responsible directly for anything that happens in the city. That's what the Gemara says. However, some of the Shonim, there are some other differences brought down as well. Some other Mahalchim, some other ideas brought down. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim says a very interesting psychological idea as to why it's turned on the Kohen Gadol. He says when someone has a Tzorah, someone has a tragedy, sometimes the only way to get over the sorrow is when someone else has it as well. Now, if someone loses a relative, then they're distressed, they're upset. But when it happens, lezulosa, it happens to a chava, then they feel a shtickle in the chomer that they're not the only one there. The Rambam explains, if you that the Goel Adon is only ever going to get becalmed when the Kohen Gadol passes away. The Kohen Gadol's nifta, that tragedy is going to hit the whole shtot. So the Goel Adon will feel, okay, he's not the only one who's lost a member of the family, the Kohen Gadol, and the whole shtot lost. And that's going to calm the Goel Adon down. Psychologically, the Rambam says that Moses Kohen Gadol will directly let the Goel Adon calm down from his anger and his vengeance of the Ritzach. That is the Rambam's reason. The Rosh says another idea, a very interesting idea. The Rosh says, you can't put a time limit on Golos, on how long the person went to Golos for. He says, "Ein kol ha-shogigim shovim." Not all the shogigim are the same. Some are more korav la-mezid, some are more korav la-oinus. You can't put a time scale on it. Therefore, Hashem b'chochmosoi puts shtazah like a Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol will die at the right time that different people in the Ore Miklot will require him to die. Meaning there's no one time sentence that someone who kills b'shogigim has to go to Golos for 20, 25 years. No such thing, because all shogigim are not the same. Therefore, Hashem picks the Kohen Gadol accordingly, says the Rosh, that's going to die at the right time, that all the Ritzchim will go free when they have to go free. And with this I want to tell to a Meshech Chochma. There's an unbelievable Meshech Chochma who takes a Pasuk in the Parsha, which is Kemat not understandable, and says Pshat. The Pasuk says as follows. V'hitzilu ha'ega, es Ritzach miyad Goel Adon, the Beis Din will save the Ritzach of Goel Adon, v'hishivu oisa ha'edal emiklotoi, they will put him back to our emiklot, asher nos shomo, which is runs there, the Yoshavo, and the Ritzach will sit there, ad mois ha-Kohen Gadol, till the Kohen Gadol dies, asher moshach oisrei b'shemen ha-Kodesh, which he has anointed him with the Shemen ha-Kodesh. Which who has anointed him with the Shemen ha-Kodesh? So the Gemara asks the Kasha, the Gemara says, asher moshach oisrei b'shemen ha-Kodesh, we'll talk about the Ritzach over here. Who anointed the Kohen Gadol b'shemen ha-Kodesh? The Gemara says, it doesn't mean that, it means, zeh shen nimshach b'yomov, it's talking about the Kohen Gadol, who was anointed in his times. Still, the Lashon HaPosuk is there. So Meir Simcha says, perhaps with a deeper understanding of the Posuk, that Hashem picks the Kohen Gadol, which is necessary for the Ritzach. The Ritzach, who's going to kill, or did kill, could predetermine which Kohen Gadol is picked by the Eibishter all those years ago, because the Kohen Gadol has to die at the right time, that this Ritzach, who goes to the Ritzach, should go out. So in fact, it comes out the Ritzach inadvertently is being Moshech the Kohen Gadol. The Ritzach is appointing the Kohen Gadol. The Hashem Moshech Ois the Hashem HaKodesh is referring to the Ritzach, because the murderer indirectly, inadvertently, with the Eibishter, the way he sees the world and the overall picture, will pick the Kohen Gadol according to the necessities of how long the Ritzach has to be in the Ore Miklot. That's one idea which the Rosh and the Meir Simcha types into the Pasuk. The Chiddush says an interesting thing. He says that sometimes the Neshamas don't find the Menucha, And Misas Tzadik, when a Tzadik dies, that sort of is a time when the Ibishna gathers in other neshamas which haven't yet found their Mokum HaMelucha. And he says with that, the Goel Hadom also will calm down with it when the Kohen Gadol dies, because by the Kohen Gadol dying, that will be a zechus for the Netzach as well to get to find his Mokum HaMelucha. The Meshechoch Mechukas says another interesting thing. He says by Aaron HaKohen, when Aaron was nifted, he says, V'hivku oisoi kol beis Yisrael. Kol beis Yisrael. Kol means everyone cried. In fact, the Meshechoch, surely not everyone cried. Surely there were some people who went to the Ori Miklot who were happy when Aaron HaKohen passed away, when Aaron HaKohen was nifted. They were happy because that was the time to go free. Some wrote to him a shogun. Says the Meshechoch, we see from here that when Aaron was in office, there were no words to show you. It must be, as I say, the Pasuk. And you've got also a call. And if everyone cried, that means there were no roads to show you. Aaron must have done his job properly. Aaron, being the Oye Shalom, Rode Shalom, was able to be Mashpia and Kalis, there were no roads to show you. What's Pshat with base Yisrael? He says, call base Yisrael. We know always that the Loshen base in the Torah always refers to the women, the Loshen. So Mei Simcha says, Anochazach. He says that the Anoshen, the men, they actually weren't so upset. They were secretly quite happy that Aaron HaKohen was Nifter. Why? Because we're talking about the Dor HaMidbar. The Dor HaMidbar all died out in the Midbar eventually, and Aaron HaKohen was Nifter in the last year of the 40 years before the Batei Eretz Yisrael, and the last group was supposed to die before they went to Eretz Yisrael. And they were worried, they're going to die in the Midbar, who's going to remember them? Who's going to ever take them back to Eretz Yisrael? When Aaron HaKohen was Nifter, the last group of Bnei Yisrael who knew they were going to die, in that Midbar, they were happy that Aaron was there. At least the Ebershah will come back for him, and they'll come back for them as well. So secretly, only the women who weren't part of the Gezeras Meraglim, the women who never cried by the Meraglim, the women who stood up for Eretz Yisrael, and therefore were never part of the Gezerah to die in the Midbar, they were the ones that actually properly cried for Aaron HaKohen, because they were tuck upset by his Talkusa when he passed away. But the rest of Klal Yisrael, although there were no Rotz Chim V'Shoigig, but secretly, the men were quite happy that Aaron HaKohen was going to be with them in the Midbar. That's what Meir Simcha says in Parshas Chukas. You know, talking about the crying and the crying needed for Meraglim, it's interesting. The Gemara, everyone knows, the Gemara says that Hashem said, "Atem b'chisem b'chir shalchinom." You cried a cry of for no reason, for no purpose. Tifku b'chir adonis. It always bothered me, this Gemara. I mean, from a psychological perspective, I can understand it. But what it really means, they say psychologically sometimes if you have a child who's crying, you have a child who's in a tantrum. A young child, a very young child. And they don't even know why they're crying anymore. Sometimes they're crying, you can't stop the crying, they don't even know why they're crying anymore. So psychologists suggest, a mahalach, they say, what you do is, you give them a reason to cry. So you take away the dummies, you take away the dolly. Now they've got a reason why they're crying, then you give it back. And they stop crying. Because you can't stop them crying when they're crying for no reason. Give them a reason to cry, then they'll cry even more. And then you take away the reason, you give it back to them, that way you can stop them. That's what the psychologists say. But whether that's what the English means, you cried for no reason, I'm going to give you what to cry about, what does that mean? So what is crying? I heard from Shamshon Fowl Hirsch, an idea which I've never heard before. He says crying is the shritz, it's the sweat of the neshama. He says when the guf is exerted, the guf lets off perspiration. When the neshama is exerted, when the neshama is emotionally exerted, the neshama lets off tears. That's the sweat of the neshama. When does the neshama let off the tears? When does the neshama have this exertion? It's perhaps two different times. You can have someone who feels very betrayed by a friend, feels betrayed, feels let down by someone else. That's when the neshama can feel very emotional, feel very letting off some zeya, some sweat. Another kind of person can cry is when a person is longing for ahava. When a person is longing for the return of a friend, that's another time a person can cry. Bran Kamenetsky explains that these are the two bechirs. It's not pshat that Hashem is saying, you cried, that I'm going to give you what to cry about. No. What was happening is a zoy. They were crying, they were activating this shritz. Over what? What were they crying about? They were crying over the fact they felt that Hashem had betrayed them by giving them Eretz Yisrael. They thought it wasn't a good deal. They thought there was something wrong over here with Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't zeicher to it perhaps, and it wasn't right for them, and they felt that they were let down by the Eibishter. They used crying for the wrong thing. The Eibishter said back to them, Tifku b'chir l'doros, I'm going to make you cry for the right reasons. I'm going to take it away from you, but make you cry to long to come back to it. I'm going to make you have the shvitz to long to come back to the kirva and to the ava, and long for the friendship rather than feeling betrayed. You know, Chazal always talk about shechita begolusa, the shechita being a golus. Very nice remez to it. The Gemara says in Makkos, probably one of the most profound Gemaras in Makkos, the Gemara says, Talmid shegolo, a Talmid that goes to golus, a student that goes to golus, Megalin raboy imoy. We take his master, his Rebbe, and we send the Rebbe to golus as well. Why? Because it says v'chah, he has to live in the Ori Miklot, and he can't live without his Rebbe. How can a person live without his Torah? And the Mefarshim point out, although we're talking about the Ori Miklot had Levim there, Levim were doch people of the book, doesn't matter. Every Yid needs his Rebbe. You have to take his Rebbe because that's what he's used to, and he can't live without it. It's a very profound Gemara. But with that, moving the Chazal, Shechita Begolusa, why is the Eibishter in golus? Because Talmud Shegolah Megalin Rabbi Imoy, they should take the basis wrong. He says Talmud Shegolah Megalin Rabbi Imoy, we can't live without the Rebbe. So that's why the Eibishter comes to golus with us as well, because we can't manage, we can't live without him. That's the Gav of Misas Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says that the three Ori Miklot that Moshe shtel davek and Moshe separated me'eva hayadin were not active, did not work until the three in Eretz Yisrael worked. And the question is why? Why did the three in Chutz La'aretz? Why did the three in Eva Hayadin? Why didn't they do their job, even though the ones in Eretz Yisrael are not yet ready? So again, the Meshech Chochma says, he says two reasons. He says, first of all, it took 14 years for Klal Yisrael to settle in Eretz Yisrael. And 14 years then to set up the new Ori Miklot. He said, what would happen if a Ritzeach, Meshuggah, would happen in those 14 years in Eretz Yisrael? What would happen? They would have to run to Chutz La'aretz. They would have a choice. So the Meshuggah, the Torah doesn't want to encourage Yerida. The Torah doesn't want to have a big enough problem with Bnei Godem, Bnei Reuven, staying, Me'eva Yadin. We don't want to encourage in the 14 years any Ritzeach Meshuggah to have to go to Chutz La'aretz, and perhaps he'll end up staying there and maybe not be coming back. So therefore the Eibishter said the Ori Miklot and Chutz La'aretz also will not work until the ones in Eretz Yisrael, not to give Chutz La'aretz any mile over Eretz Yisrael, even temporarily. That's one Mahalach Ramei Sulcha says. But the second Mahalach is a very interesting one. He says the punishment of Golus is a person goes to Golus, doesn't know when he's going to get out. But he knows that it can happen at any chance. At any time he's got the hope that perhaps the Kohen Gadol is going to go to the Niftah. Gemara says, if not for the mother of the Kohen Gadol bringing food to the people in the Ori Miklot, the people, the Ritzchim, would pray, would daven, and the Kohen Gadol should die. So that was always the hope of the Ritzach, that he knows he can go free at any given moment. At any given moment he can go free. Over here, for the first 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk, of Eretz Yisrael, it was known that Elozer was going to be the one to lead them. Hashem had said, Elozer, Aaron HaKohen was lifter, Elozer was going to be the one to do Kibush V'chiluk. That means any Ritzach who would go to Golos in those 14 years would know he's not getting out for 14 years. Because Elozer has been promised to do Chalukas Oretz, and for those 14 years Elozer is not going to pass away, Elozer will not be Nifta, for 14 years he will have this anguish of knowing he's not going free. That the Eibishter wasn't Machayavim. That is not part of the punishment of someone who goes to Golos to know that he's going to stay there forever. He has to have this hope, he has to be able to live in hope that he can go free. We find in the Gemara a few times that there's some Rotschim who don't go free. Some Rotschim, Shogun, the Moshe of the Gemara says, if Nigmar Dinoi B'loi Kohen Gadol, let's say there was no Kohen Gadol active when the Gemar Din happened, when the Ritzeach B'Shogun was Paskin, to go to Ori Miklot, and there's no Kohen Gadol in the office at the moment, what happens then? The Gemara says he stays there forever, never goes free. Other examples, the Gemara says, what happens if he's a Hoyrek Kohen Gadol, he kills the Kohen Gadol himself, also doesn't go free. So these are Mikrim, these are specific one-off cases. Perhaps over there it wasn't said this moment. But generally, on a Klal Yisrael level, Hashem didn't want to have a situation where all of Klal Yisrael would know that any Rotzeach B'Shogeg on a Klal Yisrael level would know that he can't go out free for 14 years. There's a Mishnah in Makkos that says the following. He says, no one can leave the Ori Miklot. It's a mitzvah to stay there. There's a kapora by staying there. You have to stay there. And you can't leave, even if Kol Yisrael tzrichim. Even if Kol Yisrael need him. Mishnah brings example, Kiyoyo ben Tzeruya. He's a brilliant general. If Kol Yisrael need him to save lives, he can't leave the Ori Miklot. The Reb Sameach, the Meir Simcha, in his work on the Rambam, he asks, why not? if we in Kal Yisrael need them, I mean, it's a matzav of pekuach nefesh, it's a matzav of sakonas nefoshes for Kal Yisrael, so why can't he leave? Pekuach nefesh is derech kol ha'Torah kula. Pekuach nefesh, saving the lives of Kal Yisrael who need him, is matzav any mitzvahs. Even though there's a mitzvah for a tzeach to run for a mitlot, shteven nos shomo, you have to run, there's a mitzvah. But so what? Pekuach nefesh is derech kol ha'Torah kula. So if it is meach. So Rav Simcha says, see from here that pikuach nefesh of other people is not madcha, doesn't push away your own suffik pikuach nefesh. Doesn't push away the fact that you may yourself be a suffik pikuach nefesh. For example, someone who knows that he can perhaps save someone else's life, but he's putting his life in suffik danger. Like over here, when the tzeach goes out, the goel adom is suffik maybe after him. Even if it's pikuach nefesh for other people, but you can't put yourself in a matzah of suffik pikuach nefesh. That's what Rav Simcha Shvazavek, and he brings a raya. This is now the Meshech Chochma in Parsha Shemois. In Parsha Shemois, he brings a raya from what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said to Moshe in Midyon, "Go back to Mitzrayim. Ki meisu kol ha'anoshim asher mevakshim es nafshecha. All the people who are after you have died." It's Dosan Naviro, Rashi says they didn't actually die, but they were Yerid Menachosom, they became Aniyim. Why did Hashem have to say to him that all the people who are after you have died? Moshe had to go back anyway, because he was not saving Kal Yisrael. He was not Matzah Pekuach Nefesh. Moshe was the only leader who was able to save Kal Yisrael. Moshe had to go back regardless. It says, you see from here, that would be a matzah of where someone's after you, and your own life is in suffic danger, you can't go and save Yenom. You can't go and save Yenom. Moshe would not have been allowed to go back to Mitzrayim to try and save the Eden if his own life had been in danger. That's why Hashem had to say to him, Ki Mesu, Kol Anoshim, they've died, and they're not after you anymore. Gevalde Gera. Then Rav Simcha asks, Seder, so why did they make a takana? Going back to the case of Yoav ben Tzruya, going back to the fellow in the Orim Miklot who's got the key to saving Kal Yisrael. Why didn't Beis Din make a takana? Why didn't Beis Din make a takana that the Goel Adom shouldn't kill him? Make a takana, they shouldn't kill him. Then, and he came on up, Seder, there's no suffering Kuch HaNefesh anymore. His life is not in danger anymore. And that he says, interestingly, he attaches it into a pasuk. The pasuk says, Goel Adom will find him outside the Ir Miklot, Rotzach Goel Adom, and the Goel Adom will kill him. In the next pasuk it says, Kiv Ir Miklotoy Yeshin, because he has to sit in the Ir Miklot, Ad Moisach Goel Adom. The word ki is a bit out of place. What the Torah should really be saying is that Ir Miklotoy Yeshin, he should sit in the Ir Miklot until the Kohen Gadol dies. The word ki, because, doesn't really explain, doesn't really come in over here. So he explains the Rav Simcha interestingly, that we're worried if we even allow Yoav ben Tzruya or someone who Klal Yisrael need to go out of the Ori Miklot for this the reason to save Klal Yisrael, we're worried they may want to go somehow do tachpula is to go and kill the Kohen Gadol. They may want to arrange that the Kohen Gadol should get killed because they know that they're going to stay there until the Kohen Gadol passes away. This is their chance. This is their freedom. They're out of the Ori Miklot. They can now go and maybe perhaps organize an undercover operation to kill the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, that's why we're not mistaken to let him out. We don't want him out at all, even for pikuach nefesh, because we're scared of the life of the Kohen Gadol, what the Ritzach might arrange. And that pshat ki be'ir miklotei. The reason why we don't allow the Goel Adom, to go out of the Ori Miklot at all, in all circumstances, we don't even make a takona to let him out. We don't even say that the Goel Adom can't kill him in a case where it's a matzah of pikuach nefesh, because we're ki be'ir miklotoy yeshev ad moisa kohen hagadol, because he's due to stay there, he knows, he's going to go back there once his job is finished, once his Yoav ben Tzruya job is finished, he's going back to the Ori Miklot. If he's going back to the Ori Miklot, to the moisa kohen hagadol, what's he going to try and do? He's going to try and arrange undercover the kohen hagadol to get killed. That's why we don't let him out. The ma'aseh from this Rav Simcha, this piece itself, there's 4 points which are interesting, which are not so muskim, not so agreed by other mafroshim. His first point that he mentions, the first raya that he brings from Kimeisu Kol Anoshim by Moshe Rabbeinu and Parsha Shemois, is not such a clear raya. The Gemara Dorim says that why did the Eibishter say Kimeisu Kol Anoshim Asher Vatchim Sashecha? The Gemara says a different reason. The Gemara says because Moshe Rabbeinu had made a neder to his shver, he had promised his shver he's not going back to Mitzrayim, so to be matir the neder, Hashem had to find Moshe, what's called the Pesach and Charotah, to find the reason why he was matir the neder, and Kimeisu Kol Hanoshim was the way that Hashem was matir the neder. So the Gemara doesn't say that the reason why Hashem said ki meisu kol anoshim was because of the pikuach nefesh. Nothing to do with that. The Gemara says a different reason. That's one or all. What Rameh Simcha says as well, that a person can't put himself in the matzav of a sofet pikuach nefesh to save other people who are nevada pikuach nefesh. It's also not so readily agreed. There's a Bishami that says clearly faket. There's other stories in the Gemara which seem to indicate nishtavim that a person can put himself in the matzav of sofet pikuach nefesh to save other people. That's also not such a clear point. He also takes on Rameh Simcha that if the Ritzach leaves the Ori Miklot for a certain purpose, for a purpose, let's say, of saving Klal Yisrael, Simcha takes on that the Goel Adon can still kill him. Again, that's not something that everyone agrees to. The Divrei Yecheskel says that if what would be if the Ritzach left the Ori Miklot b'shogeg, by mistake walked out of the Ori Miklot, what would happen? He's medayek from the Rambam that in such a case the Goel Adon can't kill him. The Rambam says that when the Ritzach walks out of the Ori Miklot, why can the Goel Adon kill him? Because hitir atzmo lemisa, he has permitted himself a misa, he has opened up himself a misa, he has given himself up, so to speak. He's being suicidal by walking out of the Ori Miklot. Says the Divrei Yecheskel, we see from here that if someone walks out by mistake, b'shogeg, and taka is not his fault, and the Goel Adon can't kill him. And it's safe to assume, according to that, that if the Ritzach is leaving the Ori Miklot for a mitzvah to save Klal Yisrael, the Moshe Pekuach Nefesh, it's no worse than a Shogig, perhaps even better than a Shogig, and therefore, the Goel Adon couldn't kill him. And if the Goel Adon can't kill him, then Ebazo he's allowed to leave. So, it's again not something which is so clear and so readily agreed by everyone. Perhaps the most interesting thing that I found was Rameh Simcha's question that he asks, let's make a Takona, on a Machina Takona, a Goel Adon can't kill him. This is a very interesting shayla. Someone once asked me, and I found afterwards, Tosfos, I think, in Megillah asked a question. Everyone knows we don't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos because we're worried Shema Yavirenu we may carry it to Meshus Ravim. Why do we do Mila B'Shabbos? Why are we worried that Shema Yavir Hasakim you might carry the knife? Someone asked me a question once, and I probably found it. Tosfos Megillah asked the question. But it's a very interesting question. Why is it so easy to do Mila on Shabbos? Why are we worried about carrying the knife? There's various answers brought down. But one of the answers brought down one of the Shomim is that a shofar on Shabbos, the Torah never said you should blow shofar on Shabbos. The Torah said you should blow shofar. We do on Shabbos, if not for the Gezerah, we would do on Shabbos because there's no reason why not to. There's no issue involved. So therefore, when it comes to a Gezerah, Chazal can make a Gezerah because it doesn't say specifically in the Torah blow on Shabbos. But Mila, statement foolish in the Torah, we learn it from the Pasuk, by Yoyim Hashemini, the Gemara learns out from there that it's Madcha Shabbos, because anyway it's Malacha Gemura, so anyway we have to be Madcha Shabbos with it. If in such a case, Chazal can't come and say, don't do it. You can't make a takona against something which state in the Torah, mefurish, yes. The Torah says mefurish, you do something, Chazal don't come and make a takona. They make takonas on things which we do anyway. Shofar on Shabbos, we would do anyway. They don't say mefurish, do shofar on Shabbos. Eibazari, Rameh Simcha's question that he asks, let's make a takona that the Goel Adon can't kill him, could be told on this, because Shem Mefurish in the Pasuk, the Goel Adon can't kill him. According to some opinions in the Gemara, it's even a mitzvah to kill him, the Goel Adon is a mitzvah to kill the Ritzach, in some cases, according to some opinions in the Gemara. So it's hard to say that Chazal can make a takona that Goel Adon can't kill him. It's direct mitzvah, Shem Mefurish is as yet. The last point I want to talk about is the Gemara asks the question that three on Evayadeh and three in Eretz Yisrael. Isn't that a bit disproportionate? And only 2.5 there and 8.5, 8.5, 9.5 there. As I correct the Gemara. The Gemara answers in Makkos that Begilod, which means the Chutzlaret, Nefishi Roitzchim, there were plenty of murderers. And all the Mefarshim asked, the whole world asks, murderers? We're talking about B'Shogeg over here. What's going on over here? So one of the very nice tzurutzim from the Maharal says in the Gur Aryeh, he says that when you have murderers bemazed, it affects the whole humanity. People are even less careful about life. You become desensitized to what another person's life is. And shogigim will happen more readily in a town where there's mezidim, in a town where there is people killing bemazed. Shogigim happen, people are more careless. Suddenly you're less careful about what you do, because what's life so important? People are killing bemazed anyway. So because Nefishi Roitzchim Bemezid, Maral says it has a direct effect on the rest of humanity as well. But the Ramban asks the Gavaldi Yakasha. The Ramban says, I don't understand. What's the Gemara's question at all? Three over here, three over here. It's not even true. There were 42 other Ori Levi'im. There were 42 other cities which also worked and doubled up as Ori Miklot. And of these 42, they were divided perfectly. 36 in Eretz Yisrael and 6 in Chutz Laaretz. But often that we had 39 altogether, 36 and 3 in Eretz Yisrael and 6 and 3 in Chutz Laaretz. Perfect, beautiful, proportionate. What's the Gemara's question? That's the Ramban's Kasha on Chumash. And the Purim Yofus explains that the Ori Levi'im and the Ori Miklot were slightly different. They didn't exactly do the same role. The Ori Levi'im, he says, were primarily Ori Levi'im. They weren't actually Ori Miklot. They just worked as Ori Miklot as well. The Ori Miklot were primarily Ori Miklot. What's the difference? So he explains that there was differences. The Ori Levi'im, the people had to pay money to the Levi'im. The workers had to pay rent. But the Ori Miklot didn't have to pay any rent. If there's big population of the Levi'im and a big population of Rotschim, who comes first? Again, that will depend. In the Ori Levi'im, the Levi'im have got more right. In the Ori Miklot, so although both places had both Levi'im and Rotschim, but in the Ori Levi'im, they were primarily Ori Levi'im and they weren't really Ori Miklot primarily. So therefore, what the Gemara is discussing is the main Ori Miklot, not the Ori Levi'im. There's other mafkaminis as well. And Moshe, what happens if someone goes, and Rotschim goes into the Ori Miklot? He doesn't realize he's there. He by mistake walks into the Ori Miklot. Is it koilet shaloi ladas? Does it work without him even knowing that he's there? The Gemara says it only works shaloi ladas in the Ori Miklot, but not in the Ori Levi'im. Perhaps we'll finish off with what's the kesher between the Levi'im and the Rotschim? What is it? Poor Levi'im have to live in a city wherever they go in the Ori Levi'im, they've got Rotschim. In the Ori Miklot, they've got Levi'im. What's this connection between the Levi'im and the Rotschim? So the Chinuch says, and the Levi'im, these were the model examples of Klal Yisrael. These are the people that we want Rotschim V'Shogeg to be around good tzaddikim, good people, so they can benefit and they can have a good influence on them. The Levi'im, the right people, they're the people to create the rehabilitation of the Rotschim. That's what the Chinuch says, that's why we have the Levi'im, the Shidduch between the Levi'im and the Rotschim. But the Kli Yaakov says a very interesting thing, and this ties up the parasha from the beginning to the end. He says, how many Masoris were there? How many places where the Eden stopped, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael, there were 42. Zot, the Kli Yaakov, 42 Masois, 42 Chanuyos, against that, the 42 Ori Levi'im as well. What's the connection? He says because the Masois, wherever the Eden went, they felt like Geirim, they felt like aliens, they felt like they didn't belong there. The Levi'im also didn't have a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael as well, they didn't really have a Chelek. The 42 cities in Eretz Yisrael which the Levi'im were given were connected the 42 places where the Eden stopped, in the Midbar, and they felt like Geirim, they felt like it wasn't their shot, it wasn't their land, and the Levi'im also don't really have a chelek in Achron Eretz Yisrael, but they have these little Ori Levi'im which were set aside for them, not really their portion, but it's the Geirim's feeling, it's a feeling I don't belong here. So the Kli Yaakov, why did we put a Ritzach there as well? Because the Ritzach also feels like it doesn't belong. The Eibishter cares about a Ritzach. Ritzach is going to go to the Ori Miklot, he's going to feel uncomfortable, he's going to feel like he's in a place where he doesn't belong at all. So the Eibishter deliberately makes the Levi'im be there, makes the connection between the Ritzach and the Levi'im, because the Levi'im are also people. They're not people who are going to turn around to the Ritzach and say, what are you doing here? Because what are they doing there as well? They already have a Chelek in Eretz Yisrael. They're also only Geirim. Mum Shevoch, something which you have wrong with yourself. Al Toma Lachavroch, you can't say to anyone else. So in order for the comfortability of the Ritzach, B'Shoigug, Hashem put them together with the Levi'im. Which was for Zeicha, Mashiach should come, and we shouldn't need any Ori Miklot. Correct.